there's a couple things here as we get ready, as we continue to move in kind of introductory into the book of Proverbs. Proverbs' main thrust is, how do we live in a wise fashion in the midst of a foolish world? Now, in case you didn't understand how foolish the world is, I was just reading yesterday. There's a young woman, 20 years old. Her name is Kylie Jenner. Any of you ever hear of Kylie Jenner? See, I talk youth. Yes, I was reading this. Yeah, because I want to talk youth. That's right. Just don't forget it, okay? You know her? You watch her shows. Okay, well, I don't know too much about Kylie Jenner, but I know this, that she's 20 years old. She's got lots of money. In fact, Forbes has estimated her net worth at $900 million. Okay? She's into cosmetics. She's into Instagram. She's into everything and nothing at all at the same time. But she's worth $900 million. Part of the Kardashian, Jenner, fortune, clan, all this stuff. People famous for being famous. You know the story. Okay, so this is Kylie Jenner. She's got $900 million, and I guess someone came up with the bright idea. Wouldn't it be cool to be the youngest self-made billionaire? Because, you know, she's so close. She's only $100 million away. And so guess what they did? They set up a GoFundMe account. Yes. Ouch. In order to try to raise that last $100 million so that she could be the youngest self-made billionaire ever. I don't know, is it self-made if you go on GoFundMe? She hasn't made it yet, okay? But the GoFundMe account is going nuts. Most of the gifts are small, $5, $10, but some ranges in the hundreds. As people see this and they really want their friend, right, their Instagram friend, to be able to have this achievement, and so people are giving money to somebody who already has a net worth of $900 million. Now, before you ask me what the GoFundMe account number is, I don't know the answer to that. But it begins to say something to me, to our culture, that we are so rudderless. We are so much without an anchor for our soul, Jose. You talk about the shirt that we're having for the youth. There is something that we are so just adrift that a culture would not only not shout her down for being so selfish, but would actually get on board and start giving money. I can guarantee everyone who gives money to her account doesn't have nearly as much as she does. And yet somehow they think that's a smart thing to do, to take their money and to give it to her simply so that she could say, hey, I made my first $1 billion by the time I'm 21. Come on. What a screwed up world. This is, you know what they say? They said it for generations, right? There's a sucker born every minute. And this generation, this world, what's going on? Well, I think what it begins to show is that there's just a disconnect when it comes to the sense of what is right, not as what is right, what is wrong, but what is just even wise? What is wisdom? How does that have to do anything to do with our very lives? And as we were listening to the girls read for us today, I want to say that looking back last week, I heard it kind of pick up again, but our jumping off point last week as we introduced ourselves to this said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Verse 7, it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is part of the challenge of the world we live in, that we live in a world. Not only is it confusing enough for us who have a sense of who Jesus is and a sense of maybe right and wrong, but we recognize that we are surrounded by and we're influenced by this world, and even in our knowledge of what's right and wrong, sometimes we struggle with doing what's right and what's wrong. There is something in us, and we'll talk about a little bit about this term fool, what it means for us today, and how it is that we begin to root ourselves in this thing called wisdom. Okay, fear the Lord. Again, we mentioned it last week. It doesn't mean that we are to be terrified of God or afraid of God, but rather it is this healthy sense of reverence or awe for God, reverence and a healthy sense of awe even for my place in the universe. It is to find my place in it, to understand that I'm not God and that I don't get to make the rules. I don't get to determine what's right and wrong. I don't get to determine any of that. I am simply to live in a humble position to accept God's definitions for what is and ought to be, and begin to live my life out in awareness, constant awareness, of God's plan for myself. This is where it begins. Now, the verse we heard at the close that Sarah read for us ended the chapter with this, because this becomes part of the deal. That fear of the Lord is that jumping off place. That is living in awareness that there is a God and that God has a plan, and that we begin to find wisdom by seeking out what his plans for us would be. When we come to a point of struggling with whether I should do this or that, maybe our first question needs to be that fear of the Lord question. What is God's desire for me in this? Because sometimes that's all it takes. The second thing is going to be found here. There's a second step in this way of wisdom, and it begins here with listening to those around us who have wisdom to share with us. It's not just being in this relationship with God, but also humbly hearing from others. Again, I'll read what Sarah read for us, 31. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Hear that. Before I go on, ask this question. How am I at being corrected? What is my first reaction when someone says, "That's really stupid"? My reaction is, no, it's not. Because if I thought it was stupid, I wouldn't have done it. But the fact is, sometimes we do get astray, and sometimes we don't see clearly, and sometimes our perspective isn't broad enough, big enough, to begin to know everything, and there are others around us who have wisdom to share with us, and will we hear it, or will we say, no, I'm not? This becomes problematic for most of us who are human. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise, but those who disregard discipline despise themselves. But the one who heeds correction, the one who listens to that advice, gains understanding. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, just like we said last week. That's the beginning place. And humility comes before honor. This is the humility that comes before honor. This is before we can become wise in God's ways. We need to be humble before him. But we also need to be humble enough to recognize that there are others in the body of Christ. It's actually part of the reason why I believe God gave us each other, was so that we could speak to each other, so that we could share things that we're struggling with and have others begin to weigh into our life. Not all wisdom is going to come through all people. Not all advice is going to be good advice. But if we're not willing to listen to advice, we'll never maybe hear a perspective beyond our own. And maybe God is speaking through that person next to you, whether it be someone in your household, someone in your family, or maybe it's someone in your church body who is able to help you come to a bigger and better understanding of what God is trying to do, if we are humble enough, because humility comes before honor. Now, this is an interesting one, but it comes all through Proverbs 15. I want to just break it down slowly quickly here for us, that as you read through Proverbs, if you're doing the wisdom challenge and you know that you've been seeing this, there are some words that come up over and over and over again, and they're not synonyms, they're not the same. There are different things that oftentimes the proverb speaks to, and there are three primary foils, kind of the person that the proverbs writer is speaking to in these proverbs. First one is the simple, and that is those who simply don't know right and wrong, don't understand God's ways. There's a lot of people like that. They maybe do foolish things. I got a hunch a lot of these people giving to that GoFundMe account would fall into this category. They simply don't know. Well, it seems like the right thing to do. I like Kylie. I'm going to send money to her. Okay, fine. You can do that. We have freedom to do that. But the reality is that they often work without understanding. And that's what the book of Proverbs is really for, to begin to give some guidance to those who really don't know any better. And I don't mean to be chastising anybody here or anybody in the world, just simply saying that sometimes we act in foolish ways. But again, the word here is simple, because they lack knowledge. They lack understanding. The fool, who is the primary focus in the book of Proverbs, but this one is not lacking knowledge. This individual knows better but acts worse. You know anyone like that? Yeah. Who knows what is probably right and wrong and still does what is wrong anyway? Who knows what is probably God's wisdom but chooses to do their own way instead? Know anyone like that? No pointing fingers, okay. What did they say? When you point one finger at somebody else, you're pointing three back at yourself. That's probably all of us. And that's why I think the book of Proverbs is here for us, because it is a good reminder for all of us, especially for those who have some sense of what God's design is and God's desire is. But when we don't walk it out, why is that? Because we're acting the fool. People who know better but choose poorly. And there's a third category, and I'm not going to say anybody here would fall in this category, but the Proverbs talk about the one who's called the mocker. And the mocker is simply the one who is opposed, who opposed to the ways of God. So if they act in a way that is opposite of the ways of God, don't be surprised, because they are opposed to the ways of God. Now, for the simple, what we do is we give them instruction. That's what they need. For the fools, you and me, probably most of us, we want to have some sense of accountability, some sense of discipline that helps us stay on the path. But for the mocker, there's really not much you can do for them except love them and let them be. Because if you try to encourage them, if you try to redirect them, you try to instruct them, they're not going to take it, because they don't buy into the same premise that we have. This is where we often get in trouble in the body, because we think, well, this person, they're acting unlike God would have them. They're not acting in the way that they were raised. They're not doing whatever it is, and because we get frustrated. But the reality is that God has a place that he is working on to try to draw them back. And it may not be through our words, though it may be through our love that begins to come and bring them around. Okay, I want to move on, because we want to talk about the fool primarily, because this is the deal. Proverbs 28, and this is how you read Proverbs. This is why we read it day by day, because each day kind of catches the little glimmers and pieces of various topics. And if you're looking at those who are going to gain in wisdom, this is what it is. In 28, we see that those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Okay, I want to just throw this out there again. You say, okay, yeah, of course, those who trust in themselves are fools. We want to live in community. We want to have others speak to us. But isn't that exactly where we often go? It seems right to me. And if it makes sense to me, I should do it. Does that make sense? If it makes sense to me, I should do it? Yeah, that is the definition of being a fool. That is the definition. We think, oh, that makes sense. If it makes sense, I'll do it. That's the definition of being a fool. You may know that that's not how you were raised. You may know this is not maybe the way that you ought to go, but others are doing it, so therefore I think I'll join in. That's the definition of being a lemming, of running and jumping off a cliff just because others are doing the same thing. No, the fool is the one who says, I'm going to trust myself. I may know differently, I may know better. I may have been taught differently, I may have been taught better, but I'm going to do what seems right to me. That is the definition of a fool. Proverbs 12 says something similar, that the way of the fool seems right to them, but the wise will listen to advice. You see, these are not condemning verses. They're not saying you're a fool and you'll always be a fool. It says, but all of us do this. We all want to learn from our own mistakes, don't we? And then we shake our heads as somebody else around us learns from their own mistakes. This is how we are as people, but the book of Proverbs is there to try to protect us from some of our own devices, some of our own failings, some of the pain that's going to come through the failures if we continue to go this way. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. And towards that end, oftentimes we'll say this, we'll kind of justify ourselves, we will go and we'll look around at those who think like we do, and maybe we'll even go and talk to people who we know that they're going to agree with us, and we'll say, well, I listened to the people around me. I run into this a lot. I'll see someone whose marriage is struggling, and maybe they'll come and they'll talk to me, and I'll be talking with them, and I'll say, try this, this, and this, and they'll say, okay, or they'll say, no, I don't think so. Or maybe they'll go out and talk to their others. Say a gal comes and she says, I'm not having a good time in my marriage, so I'm going to go talk to all my unmarried friends or all of my recently divorced friends and say, hey, what do you guys think? Is this doable for me? Can I jump ship? And they'll all say, yes, come on in. The water's great. And so she will tell me, well, I've talked to a lot of my friends, and they all say, yes, I should do this. Because sometimes we choose to listen to those who we know are going to agree with us. And we call that wisdom because we're listening to others' advice. But it's not wisdom. It's easy to believe someone if what he or she is telling you is exactly what you want to hear. We are good at creating these echo chambers, yeah? Surrounding ourselves, insulating ourselves with just those who are going to agree with us or encourage us. But that may not be wisdom. And again, that's a part of what it means to be a body. That's why the body of Christ has multi-generations. Maybe you're an older and you got more wisdom, or maybe you're younger and you can see things with fresh eyes. But each of us needs each other to begin to share, to find wisdom, and not to continue to just go down this echo chamber of knowing that people are going to agree with me, and so therefore I'm cool. No, the book of Proverbs says we are invited to listen. It goes on. I'm going to touch on a couple more verses quickly. There's verses like this, but this one's kind of cool. Surely you need guidance to wage war. We would all know that. And victory is won through many advisors. Even if we're not waging war, again, the idea is if we have people who can speak into our lives, we're going to be better off because we'll have a better chance of hearing God's wisdom in it if we're humble and if we hear the advice of others. And finally, this one, listen to advice and accept discipline. This is good advice for us. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Tell me, how many of us would like to be counted among the wise? Anyone raise a hand? Okay, there's 5, 6, 7 of us. Good. And okay, so the rest of you are saying, no, I would like to find my life to be a mess. Yes? That's what the rest of you said? I want a mess, please, because that's what Proverbs reveals to us, that the way of wisdom is going to lead to the good things within life, and the way of our natural bent is going to take us down a path of destruction. We'll see this over and over. And so do we want to go through and plow through this mess, or would we rather be counted among the wise? If it is to be counted among the wise, the key is going to be not only fear of the Lord, but also listening to the advice of those around us. And again, that's what we've been called to because we are Christ's body, to speak truth to one another, to bring encouragement to bear, to offer insight where we have been given insight and experience from the experiences that we have had. This is what it means to be the body of Christ, to help one another live in a more wise way. So God, I want to thank you today. And I pray that you would give us eyes to see ourselves for who we are, even the impediments that stand in our way, having to do with our sense of self or our pride or just our desire to be willful or wayward. God, I lift up each and every one this morning that we would hear you speak to us to guide us along the path of wise living, that we would honor you with our life, that we would recognize you in the midst of our life, that we would be able to then apply your truth to the paths and the patterns that we take. In Jesus' name, amen.